नाभेरसा वरिसभा आस सुदेवि सूनुर यो वै चचार समद्रिग जडयोग चर्याम यत्पारं हंसयं ऋषयः पदम् अमनन्ति आमनन्ति स्वस्थ प्रशान्तकरणः परिमुक्तसङ्गः नाभेरसावरिषभ आससुदेवि सूनुर् यो वै चचार समद्रिग् जडयोगचर्याम् यत्पारं हंसयं ऋषयः पदं मामनन्ति स्वस्थः प्रशान्तकरणः परिमुक्तसङ्गः नाभेरसावरिषभ आससुदेवि सूनुर् यो वै चचार समद्रिग् जडयोगचर्याम् यत्पारं हंसयं ऋषयः पदं मामनन्ति स्वस्थः प्रशान्तकरणः परिमुक्तसङ्गः प्रशान्तकरण परिमुक्तसङ्गः हे रसावृषभासुदेवि सूनु वर्ड मीनिंग नाभे है भाई महाराज नाभि आसौ द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड ऋषभ आस बिकेम सुदेवी सुनु द सन ऑफ यह हु वई सर्टेनली चचार परफॉर्म समद्रिग इक्विबैलेंस्ड जड़ मटेरियल योगचर्याम परफॉर्मेंस ऑफ योगा यत विच पारम हमसयम द हाईएस्ट स्टेज ऑफ परफेक्शन ऋषयः द लर्नेड स्टेजेस पदम सिचुएशन आमनंती डू एक्सेप्ट स्वस्थ सेल्फ रिपोज्ड प्रशांत सस्पेंडेड करण द मटेरियल सेंसेस परिमुक्त परफेक्टली लिबरेटेड संगह material contamination. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The Lord appeared as the son of Sudevi, the wife of King Nabhi, and was known as Rishabhadev. He performed materialistic yoga to equivalence the mind. This stage is also accepted as the highest perfectional situation of liberation, wherein one is situated in one's self and is completely satisfied. Purport: Out of many types of mystic performance for self-realization, the process of Jada Yoga is also one accepted by authorities. This Jada Yoga involves practicing becoming like a dumb stone and not being affected by material reactions. Just as a stone is indifferent to all kinds of attacks and re-attacks of external situations, similarly, one practices Jada Yoga by tolerating voluntarily infliction of pain upon the material body. Such yogis, out of many self-infliction methods, practice plucking out of the hairs on their heads without shaving and without any instrumental help. But the real purpose of such Jada Yoga practice is to get free from all material affection and to be completely situated in the self. At the last stage of his life, Emperor Rishabhadev wandered like a dumb madman, unaffected by all kinds of bodily mistreatment. Seeing him like a madman, wandering naked with long hair and long beard, less intelligent children and men in the street used to spit on him and urinate on his body. He used to lie down in his own stool and never move, but the stool of his body was fragrant like the smell of fragrant flowers. And a saintly person would recognize him as a Paramahamsa, one in the highest state of human perfection. One who is not able to make his stool fragrant should not, however, imitate Emperor Rishabhadev. The practice of Jada Yoga was possible for Rishabhadev and others on the same level of perfection, but such an uncommon practice is impossible for an ordinary man. The real purpose of Jada Yoga, as mentioned here in this verse, is prasanta karanaha, or subduing the senses. The whole process of yoga, under whatever heading it may be, is to control the unbridled material senses and thus prepare oneself for self-realization. In this age, specifically, this Jada Yoga cannot be of any practical value. But on the other hand, the practice of Bhakti Yoga is feasible because it is just suitable for this age. The simple method of hearing from the right source, Srimad Bhagavatam, will lead one to the highest perfectional stage of yoga. Rishabhadev was the son of King Nabhi and the grandson of King Agnidhara, and he was the father of King Bharata, after whose name this planet Earth was called Bharat Varsha. Rishabhadev's mother was also known as Meru Devi. Although her name is mentioned here as Sudevi, it is sometimes proposed that Sudevi was another wife of King Nabhi. But since King Rishabhadev is mentioned elsewhere as the son of Meru Devi, it is clear that Meru Devi and Sudevi are the same person under different names. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakchurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha. श्रीरूपं साग्रजातान् सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं सावदैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। थैंक यू एवरीवन फॉर ग्रेटफुल दैट आई एम गिवन दिस चांस टू स्पीक ऑन श्रीमद् भागवतम so that I can purify myself and it may help others. So we are reading here from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Verse 12. So in the translation, Test 11, Test 10, so in the translation Prabhupada is writing that Lord appeared as the son of Sudevi, the wife of King Nabhi, and was known as Rishabhdev. He performed materialistic yoga to equivalence the mind. This stage is also accepted as the highest perfectional situation of liberation, wherein one is situated in one's self and is completely satisfied. So here, Prabhupada is writing the purport that out of many types of mystic performance for self-realization, the process of Jada Yoga is also one accepted by authorities. This Jada Yoga involves practicing becoming like a dumb stone and not being affected by material reactions. Just as a stone is indifferent to all kinds of attacks and re-attacks of external situations, similarly one practices Jada Yoga by tolerating voluntarily infliction of pain upon the material body. So in this Jada Yoga, one practice to become like a dumb man, dumb like a stone. A stone doesn't react because it is not having life and is hard. So whatever you do, a stone will not react anything. So it is mentioned that in this Jada Yoga, one tries to become like a stone. Jada. Jada means which doesn't move here and there. Sometimes people are so hopeless and disturbed, frustrated in their life that they accept this non-reactive mentality. Whatever happens, they will not react. If you ask them, they will reply very coldly. In their every day-to-day life, in their situation, they act as if nothing is going to disturb them. So, those who are around them, sometimes they become disturbed, seeing their behavior, that I am telling him so much, but he is not doing anything. Sometimes it happens when mother asks children, and children are indifferent to the mother's instruction, or parents' instruction, father's instruction. एंड समटाइम पेरेंट्स बिकम्स एंग्री कि क्या करूं इस बच्चे का, व्हाट टू डू, प्रभु जी कुछ तो करो, कुछ सुनता ही नहीं हमारा. सो वी फॉलो समटाइम दिस प्रिंसिपल व्हेन वी डोंट वांट टू we don't want to give any response to others, or sometimes we follow in our life when we don't want any reaction. We feel that if we react, then we are going to get caught in the situation. If I react then I have to follow what comes. Kuch bhi jawab denge, then we have to act accordingly. And they feel that by responding, more suffering may come. And if don't respond, misery might not fall upon us. So, as we say, every action has reaction. So, that's why people normally don't try to respond. It is said that when someone passes through jungle, if someone is passing through jungle in the dense forest and one saw a wild animal, especially a bear, so the bear, what happens that you can't run. Bear is very fast, at least compared with us. And if you try to climb any tree, bear is also very expert in climbing the tree. It can also climb. So it is advised that one should lay down motionless. First one should try to hide whatever best way he can run. But if he can't do that, then he should just lie down motionless. Try to stop his breathing. The bear will come, try to sneeze each part of the body and feel that this is dead animal. They don't eat dead animals. Sher bhi aisa kabhi mara hua janwar ko nahi khata. So these animals, they go for their own prey. They don't eat any dead animal. So if you become non-reactive there, then they will leave. So similar principle sometimes people apply in their life. They feel that if I don't react, misery will not come upon us. But this material world is made such that whatever we do, miseries are going to come. Suffering is going to come. Whatever we try to enjoy, enjoyment will come, but misery will also come. And the proportion will be always in disproportionate. There was one boy was going to school, and while going to school he met with an accident. A small kid, he was a kid, so he fell down on the road and he was half unconscious, and people just surrounded that boy from everywhere, and some were suggesting that he should be fanned, someone was saying give him water, many people were saying many things. Then one old lady said, no, give him hot jalebi with milk. And they were saying like this. Then finally that boy opened his eyes. Why someone is not listening the call of that grandmother? So we become responsive when we feel that our response is going to give us some pleasure. Otherwise we become non-responsive. Same child may become non-responsive when he don't want to attend school. He will feel that, no, I don't have to go to school. And what everyone is suggesting is not helping me. Then just lie down here unconsciously. Ultimately, they will send me home. So, same person changes his reaction. Sometimes he becomes responsive and sometimes non-responsive. Based on what is the outcome. So, we become unresponsive when we feel that the outcome is suffering. And we become responsive when we feel that, oh, pleasure is going to come. Pleasure is awaiting me. So, all five senses trigger us to be responsive in the hope of pleasure. And mind then calculates, evaluate the risk, what is there in that situation. And then mind gives signal to senses, okay, go ahead. You can enjoy something here. And in this plan of sense enjoyment, even though the pleasure derived from the process is significantly less than the then comparing the effort what the person is putting in that situation. And in this hope, person works very hard. It is said, Prahlad Maharaj says in Bhagavatam that Matir Krishna Parto Svatova Vitobhipadyet Grihavratanam Adanta Gobhir Vishatam Tamistram Punas Punas Charvita Charvananam. That Prahlad Maharaj says that because of their uncontrolled senses, person too addicted to materialistic life make make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclination toward Krishna are never aroused either by instructions of others or by their own efforts or by a combination of both. And what people do or what we do, we in the hope of that we will also get happiness, we try to act same way and we do the same thing. Punas charvita charvanana, we chew what has been already been chewed earlier. So how to come to the stage that actually what we are putting our endeavor is beneficial for us or not? So people, in that purport is writing that in Punas Charvita Charvananam, 7th canto, that we are entrapped here, and only when we get association of pure devotee of the Lord, then we get a chance that our devotional service starts and we come to an understanding that what I am going through in life and what and how I can come out of this suffering especially. Otherwise it is not possible. Due to our past sukriti, we may be in a situation where we can follow, but it requires some pure devotee intervention where by which we will get help. Without pure devotee intervention, we are never going to get help. In all of our lives, we feel that we found many devotees who helped us. But why? Because some pure devotee was there behind all the situations. Prabhupada is there, Guru Maharaj is there, their mercy, Acharya's mercies are there, who are always desiring that the conditioned souls of this material world should get delivered. And their compassion is flowing through the person whom we are getting association in Krishna consciousness. So, in this world we keep on chewing what is already chewed, but then we feel that this happiness we are not able to derive from all this process. And people just speak here and there, they open their mouth. So, in this non-responsive nature, when people feel that if we react, then misery will come. The story is two swans were there. They were staying in one lake, and in one season what happened that it was severe drought and that pond, that lake dried up, and in that, but then they shifted to another place because they were able to fly and there was good amount of water. So in that pond there one friend was also there, who was tortoise. So tortoise, then when they feel that this tortoise is now going to die because there is no water, so let us help him. So they devised a plan and they said that, okay, we will carry a stick in our mouth, two swans, and you, tortoise, they instructed that you hold the stick firmly and will fly to another reservoir where you will get your life. You will be survived there. So, and they instructed the tortoise, you should not open your mouth, whatever happens, otherwise you will die. So when they were taking this tortoise and flying the sky, in the midway, some villages, they passed through some village and the children were seeing this fantastic situation, funny situation. And children start clapping and they saying, see, earlier we used to say, kawa wood, chau, here, now tortoise is also flying. Crow flying, so different. So tortoise is also flying. So they are laughing and this tortoise felt so much humiliation that Yes, he felt that I have to respond to this one. And he just opened his mouth to respond, but what happened? Come. Fell down and dead. So this is the responsive nature of the person, where sometimes we don't need to respond to the situation. We don't need to respond to that situation, but we, based on our instinct, anger, we respond and we make our situation difficult. Similarly, the situation in this material world, as long as we keep on just complaining about the suffering of this material world, we will not going to get help. By just reacting to that situation, and we try to become jada like a stone so that we don't face the miseries, but miseries comes automatically. In summer season, it is hard to avoid it, and winter also, it is very hard to avoid the winter season. We may try to do something, but it is going to hit us. Because this nature of this material world is dukkhalyam asaswatam. Always we will face some or other miseries. In place of miseries, how we can avoid it completely? It is difficult. It is impossible. We may adjust the situation, but we cannot avoid it completely. By just becoming dumb, without self-realization, miseries don't stop. Don't stop these miseries. So, this principle of dumbness, one can apply in his life when he is guided with self-realization. Otherwise, when the principle of self-realization is not there, only just by becoming dumb, it will not help in the progress of a spiritual path. When dumbness toward material nature is applied by knowing the working of the nature and the supreme controller of the nature, that supreme personality of Godhead, then only this principle of dumbness can alleviate the suffering of the living entity in this world. Otherwise, it is not possible. By just becoming dumb without self-realization, misery don't help. And sometimes we see that sometimes one applied this principle in their own life, and sometimes we feel that the friends or the colleagues who are around us, they become non-responsive. Whatever we have done, they sometimes don't acknowledge the fact that we have done something in their life. Parents complain about their children. Maine tumhare liye itna kiya. We have done so much for you, but now you are not taking care of us. Or sometime in relationship, in wife, husband, this may happen, or in brother, this may happen. So this can happen any place. But people, when feel that by responding I am going to get more difficulty in my life, they don't respond, and the person feel that I am being cheated. Sometimes it is said that do hi gawah the mere jazbaat ke, ek waqt aur dusra wo, ek guzar gaya dusra mukar gaya. So most of the time it happens that whomever we have invested, they later don't recognize that, and the suffering continues. So this suffering will only the dumbness toward this suffering will only help when we are situated in the self-realization process. When we know that who is Krishna, then only tamso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor ma amritagamaya, and asto ma sadagamaya. From tamas, from darkness, let us go towards light. So that is the light when we follow Krishna, the path of Krishna consciousness. But this Jada Yoga, as here it is said that this Jada Yoga, as this is described in this book, in this purport, that this Jada Yoga cannot be practiced as it is described here. And it cannot be of any practical value in this age of Kali Yoga. Instead, practice of Bhakti Yoga is feasible because it is just suitable for this age. The simple method of hearing from the right source, Srimad Bhagavatam, will lead one to the highest perfectional stage of yoga. So what we every day do is that hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, then the darkness, then the granthi, Hridaya granthi, that will be removed. As Prabhupada, when he was traveling to America first time through Jaladuta, in that Jaladuta he suffered 3 heart attacks. And he wrote one poem, one bhajan, Bado Krishna, Bado Kripa Koile Krishna, Adha Mera Prati. In that he writes that in this age of Kali, the people of this age of Kali Yuga, there is no hope. But O Krishna, in that, after this bhajan, he writes the purport, the slokas from Srimad Bhagavatam, where he says that when the people of this age will, when they hear Srimad Bhagavatam daily, then the knot of their hearts, the knots of their heart will be cut down. Then the bhakti will arise in their heart. So the process of this bhakti yoga by everyday hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by chanting the holy name, one will come to the stage where one can realize himself that who he is and what is the purpose of his life and how one can achieve the ultimate success. Here, devotee also apply this, although it is said that the method what is described here cannot be practiced in this age, but the principle of this Jada Yoga is applicable in everyone's of us life. We can apply this principle and we can advance in devotional service. Bhakti Vinod Thakur writes that in one of his bhajan, Manasa Deha Geho Jev Kuchu Mor, Arpilu Tuva Pade Nanda Kisor. In that he writes, if you see the every stanza, that whatever is the circumstances, let me focus on you, Krishna, on your lotus feet. Maro bhi rakho bhi jek chato mar nitya das prati tuva adhikar. Either you beat me or either you keep me. Either you protect me. Whatever is your desire, O Krishna, but please keep me under your shelter. Nitya das tuva. Nitya das prati tuva adhikar. You have full right. So devotee gives this right to Krishna. Even if the person of this world don't give any right to Krishna, the suffering is not going to stop. Because the material world, the environment is not going to change. So he is going to suffer. But when he accepts that whatever condition I am in, let me serve Krishna. He tries to solve the problem of his life. It is not that a devotee doesn't try to solve the problems of his life. He solves to whatever extent he can solve. But he don't just involve in the problem so much that he forget the purpose of his life. He tries to solve the problem, whatever extent he can solve, and many problems are there in the life which can't be solved. So he tries to live with that problem. In that condition also he tries to serve Krishna. And when he serves Krishna in this way, then Krishna becomes very much pleased. Like, oh, he is trying to serve me. Although he is in so much pain, he tried to do his level best to alleviate his pain, but he is now not able to do. But he is focusing on me. So that gives pleasure to Krishna. So every one of us, no one can say that we are not suffering, we are not having any problem in our life. Even if no bodily problem is there, mental problem is there. Either you stay in home or stay in temple, mind is same. So mind will give pain. Sometimes your chanting is not proper, sometimes reading is not proper, sometimes association with devotee we are not taking seriously. So mind will give problem and then body is also there. It is not that body will not. So mind, body, all these things are giving problems. But when we keep aside these problems for practicing devotional service, this gives pleasure to Krishna. He feels very much satisfied that, oh, this devotee, after having so many problems, he is trying to serve me. How? So Krishna becomes pleased with such devotee. So, devotee applies this principle of indifference towards material nature. And in that situation, one is able to serve Krishna. In Sitchashtakam prayer also, we sing that Aslisya va padratam pinastu mam. That either Krishna, you embrace me or rejects me. You are my Lord. So this is the highest stage of devotional service. We just can't imitate. But what have been prescribed to us in our conditioned nature, we should start doing that. Start chanting, start focusing on hearing the holy name. And this will gradually remove our anartha and we will also be able to come to that stage. It is not that the stage which is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Sri Sichashtakam prayers are not achievable. They are, but we have to put our faith in this process completely. We have to remove our anartha. If we are not able to remove our anartha, the theory what is written here will never attract us. We will never be attracted in devotional service completely. So we have to put our effort. If you want to see the result, then we have to fully practice this process. When we practice this process, then only we will be able to achieve the satisfaction in this process by serving Krishna. Otherwise, the satisfaction will not come because we are trying to serve our senses. Instead of serving Krishna, we are trying to serve our senses. And we try to serve our senses, miseries are bound to come. It is not that devotee will not face miseries, but their miseries are very much less than those who are just focusing on their sense gratification. Although, those who are not devotee, they will not agree with that, but you can see the end result. Even a devotee who is having less amount of facility, if he is properly situated, properly chanting, properly hearing, taking association of devotees, he becomes very much satisfied. He prasanta, what the principle is here said, that the real purpose of Jada Yoga, as mentioned here in this verse is prasanta, karanaha, or subduing the senses. When he subdues his senses, he becomes prasanta, and that stage, he can perform devotional service much better than what in an agitated state of mind. So this principle of Jada Yoga is very much, the principle of Jada Yoga is very much applicable in the life of devotees also. We can also apply this principle in our life and make our life successful. Hare Krishna. Any question or comments? Mike.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, on.
Thank you very much, Guruji. Very enlightening and deep lecture. Basically, I have a question since long time. Question that you mentioned in lecture that we have to do our endeavor to fight our, some problems or whatever coming in our life. We have to endeavor and fight till extent we can. And rest we have to leave to the Krishna. And Krishna, despite having such problems, we should focus on our sadhana and one day Krishna will be pleased upon us. So Prabhuji, here two questions I have. So till what extent we should have to fight in our life to our problems? And how to know that Krishna is pleased? Sometimes we give up fight because we fed up with the fighting, we give up. And how to know that Krishna is pleased upon us? And till what extent we have to fight? These two questions I have.
To what extent we should fight and how to know that Krishna is pleased with our fighting? So, to the extent we are able to manage it. If we are not able to manage the fighting, we should leave. Because ultimately it is taking toll on our Krishna conscious time. We are not able to put effort in Krishna consciousness. It is always, we feel that if we are having money, we can better live our life and we can practice devotional service better. But to make that money, if we are spending 20 hours of our time spending outside, then it is not worthy. We can evaluate. it may not come immediately. The conclusion will not arrive immediately. But with passing of time, we'll realize that is putting our effort, so much effort in this world is worthy of my time? Am I getting sufficient return from that? I am fighting with my problems, but is that sucking my energy? If that is sucking my energy and taking me away from my devotional service, then we should adjust it. And there is no just yes and no answer in any situation. We have to evaluate every situation differently, and we have to take guidance from the scriptures, from our spiritual authority, from maturity, and sometimes we have to be mature materially also. So in some situation, it is not that always devotee or some senior devotee will help. Sometimes we have to take on counseling from outside world also. Like people get help. Because when we get medically sick, we take help from doctor. When we are mentally sick, we should get help from that type of doctor. When we need some that type of counseling which will help and enhance our quality of life, we should take that help. But always in taking help or taking not help, we should judge that whether my putting that much endeavor is helping me. Even in the name of sometime devotee making their life more better, they go to outside world and take so much help, they forget their Krishna consciousness. And they now accept some other different philosophy and they go from devotional service, practicing practical devotional service. So we should not be alone to judge our situation. There should be people and devotees around us, confidential devotees, senior devotees especially, whom when we can reveal, we should know that they are not going to tell my problem to everyone and they are genuinely going to help me. If such people are around us, then based on our intelligence, Krishna will help that, and through this devotee, through scriptures, that how much we have to fight and where we have to live. All battles are not needed to be won. Some has to be left. Because we have to go ahead in our life. Agar yudh hi ladte rah jayenge, to yudh mein hi mar jayenge. Aage bhi badhna hai. So, kabhi kabhi Krishna also did. He is famous as Ranchod. Because he felt that his time is, that time was more important to meet Rukmini Devi for other purpose. So, he left Kalyavan and he left Mathura and he left that battle. He was not concerned with winning that battle. So sometimes we should be concerned that all battle we have not to win because we can't win also. So we have to manage, and how we decide, this intelligence will come through Krishna, through our peers who are around us, our well-wisher, devotees, counselors, spiritual master. And we should always pray to Krishna that please give me intelligence that how I should utilize my time, how and how much I have to fight in this material world, so that I can practice your devotional service sincerely. And by doing this, Krishna sees that the person is trying his level best to put his effort, and Krishna is pleased by that endeavor. Krishna is not concerned with the outcomes what we are putting in of the devotional service, what we are putting in. He sees the endeavor what we are putting in, and when Krishna sees that we are putting our endeavor properly, he is pleased. And when Krishna is pleased, we become naturally satisfied, because he is also situated in our heart, Paramatma. So he gives us satisfaction. Hare Krishna. Any other question or comments? Thank you. శిల ప్రభుపాదకి శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం పురాణకి గౌర ప్రవణందే.